Lord gave me a message this morning. I got up early. I went to bed late waiting for Luke to come home. And I said, well, I'll get up at 4:30. I usually get up at 4 a.m. I like to get up and do my reading and praying and stuff. I said, I'll get up at 4:30 today. Well, I didn't. I got up at 3:45 or 3:40 or something. And once I'm up, I can't go back to sleep. And so I didn't have a message for tonight. And for the last few days, Lord, what do you want me to preach? I don't know what I'm supposed to preach. I get up this morning. I know I'm coming here to preach tonight. I still don't have a message. And so sometime this morning, I don't know, between 4 and 5 o'clock, the Lord showed me what message. And the message is out of Mark chapter 5. And so it's called the divine physician, okay? The divine physician. And Mom, this is going to have a lot to relate to what went on today. And so I want to read Mark chapter 5, verses 25 through 28 real quick. And it says, "And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse." Verse 27 says, "When she had heard of Jesus, came and pressed behind and touched his garment." Verse 28, "For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." Luke, would you pray for this service real quick, buddy?
Dear God, thank you for staying for the day today. Pray for that everybody got you safely. Pray for my dad and he helped you with this service. And just make
it amen. Amen. Thank you, Luke. Amen. So she had many issues that she brought to the physicians, okay? This lady had a lot going on. She's been having this issue for 12 years. She can't get rid of it. She's paying all this money. And instead of getting better, she's getting worse. And this is a picture of what's going on in America today. Everybody is seeking everything else except for Jesus Christ. You see? And so she brought her issues. So verse 26 says, "And she suffered many things by those physicians." She went through many things, and I'm sure hard things with these physicians. I'm sure they had her drinking something or taking something or doing painful things to her body and told her it would help her get rid of this issue. And guess what? It never did. And she kept going back. And she kept spending money. And she kept going and going. And that's what you have. You look at that and you see that in America today where everybody is seeking all that help. They're seeking help in the wrong place. They're seeking help with every other physician except for the divine physician. Except for Jesus Christ. You have all this mental disabilities going on. And people, instead of seeking Jesus Christ, they're going out there and they're seeking psychiatrists and psychologists. And now they have a pill for this. But if that pill doesn't work, they can add another pill to that. But if that one doesn't work, they can add another pill to that. So now you're taking 5, 6, 7 pills. Why? Because then the physicians can't heal them. Okay? And so my life became that way. My life became that cycle. My life became where I was on all those meds. And they were trying to keep me calm, trying to keep me from getting angry. They had me on medicines that, for people who have seizures, because when I got angry, the brain waves in my brain were like somebody who was having a seizure. And I would lose my memory. And I would just get so violently angry and I would hurt people. And when I hurt people, it gave me relief. I got relief from that because I was hurt when I was younger. And so all these medicines, they made me worse and worse and worse. And my wife knows, by the time we came out here, Dr. Maiden, he's the psychiatrist out here. I went to his office and he told me, he said, "Mr. Morey, there's nothing else I can do for you." That was at that time, it was the worst thing I could have heard. But it opened up a door for Jesus Christ. Because now there was nothing. There was nothing else the world could do for me. There's only one thing left, and that was Jesus Christ. Okay? And it took a while. It took a while, but I started. Pastor John showed up probably not much long after that. He showed up to our doorstep and said, "I want to be your pastor." And everybody knows the story. I told him to just keep it moving. But you see, the physicians could never make me better. The physicians couldn't take it. And that void that was in my heart, they couldn't fill that void. And I would try to fill it with alcohol. And I would try to fill it with drugs. And being out there being a gang member and such. And being out there being a violent person. And I would try to fill it and fill it. And it never did me any good. They could never help me. I always ended up being the same person doing the same things in the same situations. But this time it was cannonballing. It was getting worse and worse. And it never helped me. And this lady here, it says, "And by the physicians, she grew worse and worse." Hey, everybody hears the promises. Doctors can make you feel better. For some things, I agree. God gave us doctors. I agree. I'm not saying they did. But let me just tell you this. Doctors can't cure everything. Miss Sue, you know what the psychiatrist didn't tell me? He tried to diagnose me with everything possible. He diagnosed me with bipolar disorder, depression, explosive anger disorder. These are the things they diagnosed me with. But you know what he forgot to diagnose me with, Mary Lee? He forgot to say you don't have Jesus Christ. My problem was I was missing Jesus Christ. That was the diagnosis. It wasn't because I was a mental case. No, you know what it was? It was my conscience. My conscience was eating me alive. It was killing me. And they tried to put all these names on me. And you know what? Nothing they ever did, nothing they ever gave me ever worked. I kept doing the same things over and over again. You know what that's called? The definition of insanity is called doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different outcome. You know what religion does? Religion makes you do the same thing over and over again and never get anything out of it. That's why I traded in religion for a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because you know what happened? For the first time in my life, that void got filled in my heart. Why? Because the divine physician, the one who could do it, did do it. Not a doctor here on earth. Them doctors never helped me. Matter of fact, they still don't help me. I've had 3 back surgeries, 3 neck surgeries, ulnar nerve surgery, bicep surgery, and I'm no better off than I ever was. Okay? It's by the grace of God. It's by the grace of God that I get by and do the things that I do. It's by the grace of God that I move the way I move. It's by His grace and His mercy that my body, with the pain that it's in, that He gives me that grace to get through that. That's what it's by. It's by the divine physician. People are trying to ease their issue of sin. They seek some type of physician, whether it's to take something for depression or the alcohol, the drugs, or to do painful things to their body to get rid of the issue or sear the conscience or numb themselves from the hurt. And one of my issues was, that's what I did, the tattoos. The tattoos would make me feel better about myself. I was a tough guy. I could drink more and do more drugs. And all it was is a temporary numbness of the pain that I was suffering from. It wasn't physical pain at this time. I didn't understand the spiritual aspect of it. All I knew is that from a child, from the day those things happened to me as a child, it bred hate and bitterness in me. And I had hate tattooed across my knuckles. It's changed now after I got saved. I don't believe in tattoos, so please don't. I don't believe in tattoos. But I couldn't stand having that word hate on me, and I got it changed to hope. Because I don't have hate anymore. I have the hope of Jesus Christ in me. I just couldn't stand having that word hate on me. But that's what I was full of. I was full of hate. You know what, Miss Sue? Them doctors never took away the hate. Betsy, them doctors could never take away the bitterness. They could never deliver me from alcohol. How many rehabs have I been in? How many did I go? How many mental hospitals did I go in? You know, them doctors couldn't touch that? If we could only get America to see that doctors aren't going to solve your problems. Jesus Christ is the problem solver. Now remember, I got this message between 4 and 5 o'clock this morning. I had no clue what I was going to preach. And then what happened today with my mother? She has a problem with a physician. You know why, Mom? Because he's the wrong doctor. Jesus Christ is the right doctor. He's the one. He's the one that's going to make things better. He's the one that's going to do it. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles 16. If you don't know where it's at, you sit there and listen. It's fine. It's all right. Yes, ma'am. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. We're going to go to verse 12. Second Chronicles 16:12 says, "And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, 39 years reigning as king, he was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceedingly great. Yet in his disease, what did he do? He sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. And guess what? It's getting worse. Things are getting worse. It's exceeding. It's getting horrible. He can't take it no more." And where does he go? He doesn't go to Jesus Christ. You know where he goes? To the physicians. Read the next verse. Let's see what the next verse says. "And Asa slept with his fathers and died Why did he die? Because he forgot about Jesus Christ. He forgot about the one who could heal him. He didn't even seek the Lord. He just kept going after the physicians. And guess what? Wouldn't you say that made him worse? I'd say it made him worse. I'd say it made him, I don't think it didn't make him any better. He's in the grave now. And it says plainly why he's in the grave. Because he didn't seek the Lord. This is what we have going on in America today. America makes the pharmaceutical companies so rich. Everybody out there living in sin. They're so happy. They have to take all these drugs. They got to take all these antidepressants and antipsychotic medications. You know why? Because they're so happy. I take zero. I have one medication that I take, and that's Jesus Christ. I don't need any mental medication. I don't need anything to help me with my anger. I have Jesus Christ to help me with that. I don't need anybody to help me with that bitterness and hate. You know why? Because he's taken it from me. He's healed that thing in me. I don't have to go to a psychiatrist or a psychologist anymore and try to lay on their couch. I laid at the foot of Jesus Christ and I got healed. Jesus Christ took that from me. Because he's the divine physician. That's what he wants to do for everybody. Oh, God, help us. There are serious medical issues that doctors must deal with, both physically and emotionally. That's not my point. My point is, when all else fails, Jesus is there, but nobody turns to him. I'm not saying doctors are wrong. I'm not saying that God gave us doctors to help us physically and so on and so forth. I get that. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is this. Why is it that Jesus Christ was the last thing that I ever looked for? Why didn't somebody come to me and tell me, hey, you ought to try this Jesus guy. He can help you out. You know why people are going to the doctors and stuff? Because they don't have anybody telling them, hey, there's this guy Jesus who can help you. That's what America's come to. Everybody, Christians today, oh my goodness, I'm taking this Christian counseling course and they're sending their people, the psychiatrists and psychologists, and they think they're going to get help. And next thing you know, they come up and say, well, I'm taking this now. I'm on a Xanax, or I'm on a this pill now, or I'm on that. And you know what it does? The people are no better. They're worse. They've left Jesus Christ for human medicine, and it's made them worse. People believe if a doctor can't do it, surely Jesus himself cannot. They do not believe or trust Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, we are living in America today where they do not believe that Jesus can do anything for them. I sit in a whole jail full of them, okay? And they're drug addicts and gang members and murderers. They're sitting in there. We're with them. They don't believe that Jesus Christ can heal them. They don't believe that Jesus Christ can make them free. They don't believe that Jesus Christ can take away their addiction. No, they don't believe it. Because it's been so far removed out of the homes and out of the heart of the people. Because Jesus Christ and the Bible has been so far removed out of the homes and the people's heart that we've had people in our church who don't even know the Ten Commandments in their 30s. They don't even know what they look like. Most people, including myself, never heard of Jesus Christ until I started going into jails and prisons. Myself going, getting arrested and going in. I remember when I started, one time I did when I was in the boys' home. Craig, I can't remember her name. And they brought me to some church, and I was just maybe 13 or 14 in a boys' home. And I remember them bringing me to I believe it was a Wesleyan church. And I was there my first time. I didn't even heard of God. Who's God? Who's this Jesus? They led me through the Romans Road. I had no clue. But I knew one thing. For a few days, things seemed to be okay. And then all hell broke loose. It was horrible from that day on. I went downhill. I mean, shortly after that my mother signed me out of the boys' home because I kept running away. Kept going. I wasn't staying there. Then right from the boys' home, I did my first jail bid. And from there, it never stopped. You know why? Because I was like that the guy in the book of Luke who cleaned those spirits out. And seven more came worse. And it was worse than it ever was. It was worse off than it ever was. Because somebody tried to put some false religion on me. Somebody tried to put this false thing on me. And you know what? It didn't work. Now, thank God that I never grew bitter against God. I never blamed God for one thing in my life, ever. You would have never, ever heard that come out of my mouth. Ever. I never blamed God for anything that happened in my life. I never blamed anybody. I never blamed my mother. I never blamed my father. I never blamed anybody. I always took responsibility for me because I'm the one who done it. There's never one time that I went to jail and I said, no, that person did it to me or that person did it to me. No, they're guilty of it. I'm not. I never did that. Not one time. When I went to jail, I played guilty or no contest. I never went in there and tried fighting it. Yeah, give me less time. But I never went in there trying to get out of it, ever, ever. I always took responsibility for what I've done. But I couldn't take responsibility for my soul. All these people that are out there blaming everybody for what's going on in their life, they don't understand that when they stand before the judgment throne of Jesus Christ, they're going to have nobody to blame but themselves. You know when I could get saved? I could only get saved when God brought me to that point that I see myself. Now, God was not worried about those things that happened to me in my past. He wasn't worried about those things, that what the people done to me and the things that were said to me and so on. God wasn't worried about that. What he was worried about is what I had, me and him had. As Job says in Job 10:1, he says, Don't destroy me. Show me wherefore thou contendest with me. What do you got against me, God? What is it? What is between me and you? What is stopping me from drawing nigh unto you? And when I seen myself the way God seen me, a miracle happened. Not only did I get saved, but you know what he did, Miss Sue? He healed my whole past. I have no problem going up to that man who molested me for all those years and shaking his hand. I would have no problem doing that. I'd have no problem with that babysitter who done those nasty things to me and my brother. I'd have no problem walking up to her and preaching Jesus Christ to her. You know why? Because the Lord healed me of that stuff. The divine physician. The divine physician. He came into my life and he healed that stuff. He healed that stuff. I don't have nightmares anymore. I sleep at night with a clear conscience. I don't need sleeping pills to go to sleep, do I, Amy? No, I do not. But I used to. You know why? Because the nightmares, they keep me up. I get up sweating. I mean, just absolute nightmares. 7 years ago, that all changed. 7 years ago, for the first time in my life, I was able to lay on a conscience. That was called a clean pillow. That was called my clean conscience. That's what I had. That night that I got saved, I about, if I could have done backflips, I would have. I wanted to go out there and go out there preaching on the street. Why? Because it was all lifted off of me. It was all taken from me. All those heavy burdens, all the nightmares, all the depression, the not wanting to live. Every morning I would sit on the edge of the bed and say, I just don't want to live anymore. I can't do it. I can't. I was afraid of death. Wasn't I afraid of death? I was always afraid that I was going to die. I mean, it was a nightmare to be in my life. It was an absolute nightmare to have to live another day. Not no more. Why? Because of the physicians on earth? No, because of Jesus Christ. This is my plea to people. And I have a lot of physical ailments going on with me. I do. I have a lot of physical things. My wife watches me in tears at night, hurting. I'm in pain. I'm getting up in the morning. I can barely walk. But I move on because I know I have Jesus Christ and I have a life. And he's given me a life. And you know what? I'm just starting to live. I'm 47 years old and I'm just getting a life now. How about that? And I can promise you this. It's not because of any doctors. Okay? It's because of Jesus Christ. I know why. Doctors could not help me. They made me worse. And I'm going to be closing up here in a minute here, but I want to read. Go back to Mark chapter 5. I want to read verse 26 real quick. And it says, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When your life grows worse because of human help, do you think people would see that? I didn't see it. Well, time to move on to a nice new psychiatrist. Time to move on to a new counselor. Time to move on and see who else I can do this. Time to see who else I can tell my story to. That's what it was. That's what I was caught up in. That vicious cycle of doing the same thing over and over again and expecting something different to happen, and it never did. She spent all she had. She was no better, but worse. Oh, what a truth it is in people of America today. When the conscience is seared and the mind and the body is numb, people get worse. America has gotten worse. The physicians, the rehabs, the mental hospitals and prisons have struck it rich, and the American people have gotten worse. They're feeding off the misery of the people. The rehabs, the mental hospitals, the pharmaceutical places, they're making it rich off of poor Americans. They're making it rich off their misery. And they're trying to tell them, don't worry, it's okay. If that one doesn't work, we'll make 10 more. If that one doesn't work, we'll give you 50 more. If that one doesn't work, we'll just keep going until we get something that does. And it gets to the point where they'll give them a placebo, which is a fake pill. And then, you know what? They'll trick them into thinking it's working. You know why? Because there's nothing wrong with them. It's their conscience. They're sinners dying and going to hell, and they can't see that. They're missing Jesus Christ. I've never had one psychiatrist or psychologist ever say, well, Mr. Moore, your diagnosis is you're missing Jesus Christ. I've never had one of them tell me that. But you know what? If they ever told me that, that might have changed something in me. And I maybe wouldn't have lived 40 years the way I did. But they wanted to live off my misery. They would sit there in a chair. Okay, Mr. Morey, what can we help you with this week? And I'd tell them my stuff, and they said, well, you know. Well, you know. Well, you know. No, I don't know. That's why I'm coming to see you. Don't you know? Well. And they never, ever could give me any direction or give me anything in my life to ever make me better. And I remember a man, John Asquith, saying, if you get into that Bible, if you get into that King James Bible, and you'll start reading that thing, and you'll start believing it, something will happen. And let me just say this. Something happened before I got saved. Little bit of things started changing in my life before I got saved. You know why? That's a powerful book right there, man. It's alive. There's something to that thing. There's something to that where a man 7 years ago was lost and dying and going to hell in his wickedness and didn't care about it to make a person to where I am today. There's something in that book. Do you think people see it though? 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, the God of this world, the God of this world has blinded the minds of those which believe not. They don't believe it. The God of this world, who is the devil, has got their minds blinded. They can't see it. And if you read the verse right above that, 2 Corinthians 4:3, it says, if the gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. They don't understand the gospel. They can't see it. Why? Because they're lost. Do you think you can get a person to say they're lost today? No, you cannot. They've all been inoculated to the gospel of Jesus Christ. They've all been taken down that prayer. They've all been taken down that road. They've gotten a shot of Jesus Christ. I'm all good now. And go out there and live any way they want, dying and going to hell, and they will not see it. Because the God of this world who said, I will be like the Most High God. Paul warns about it in 2 Corinthians 11, chapter 4. He says, if they preach another Jesus with another spirit and another gospel, that's the devil. The devil's being called Jesus Christ. He's got his own gospel out there. It's called NIV, the ASV, the ESV, the NASB, or whatever you want to call it. Those are the perverted versions of the Bible. And then it says there's another spirit, and that spirit's moving around. What's it doing? Keeping their minds blinded. Oh, just because a song has the word Jesus in it doesn't make it Christian. There's Christian death metal out there. These people are, there's Christian rap. Really? You think Jesus Christ is getting glory out of that nonsense?
Not at all. But that's Christianity today. Why? Because that's the devil. He's got the people blinded by it. He's got them tricked by it. Oh, man, don't worry. You said that prayer. Hey, didn't you do the Romans Road thing? Yeah, oh, you're good. Then why is there anything going on in these people's life? Why aren't they any better, Amy? Because they're just like the physicians. They're getting worse and worse and they can't see it. Oh, no, I'm a Christian. God's going to help me, Annie. Imagine what they're like at home when nobody can see them. You know, these people with these other Bibles and such and these other churches and all that, they can fake the outside stuff real wonderful. But I can guarantee you this, their insides are full of dead men's bones. I promise you that. They can't fake that. But get somebody to admit that. You see it plainly. I say this a lot, but I love it. Something the Lord showed me. Belief demands an action. That means what you believe is what your life will reflect. And people think they're hiding. And all they're doing is exposing themselves because they live what they believe. It slips up. Comes out of their mouth. By the way they do things. Go ahead and catch them in the store and see how they are. See if they're the same way in church. You know why? They're not. You know why? Because they're living what they believe. When they come to church or someone's like, it's a fake. It's a farce. It's fame. I just did a study on the word fame. Matter of fact, I preached it down south in North Carolina. Fame is, it means somebody who's pretending to be something they're not. And that's what the church pews are full of today. People who are pretending to be something they're not. They're fake. They're fame. David pretended to be fame. He pretended to be a madman because he was afraid of somebody. And he acted so well that they believed it. That's what we have filling the church pews today, people. People who are fake. And they have people believe it. That's a scary place. You know why? Because they've been promised life when there is no life. They've been promised peace where there is no peace. Jeremiah 8:22, and I'm going to close with that. You don't have to turn there. I'll turn there real quick. Jeremiah 8:22. I'm going to close with this. It's a serious matter. We need to be praying for these people's eyes to be opened, for the true divine physician to open their eyes. Chapter 8, verses 22, and it says this. There's no balm in Gilead. Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people covered? Why aren't they changed? Isn't there anything that can help these people? I mean, don't you look at America and go, gosh, is there any help? Is there? Verse 9, chapter 1. Oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wavering men, that I might leave my people and go from them. For they are all adulterers, and the assembly of treacherous men. And they bend their tongues like the bow for lies, but they are not valiant for truth upon the earth. For they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord. Take ye heed, every one his neighbor, and trust not in any brother. For every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanders. And they will deceive every one his neighbor, and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies, and they weary themselves to commit iniquity. Thine habitation is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit they refuse to know me, saith the Lord. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will melt them and try them, for how shall I do for the daughter of my people? Their tongue is an arrow shot out. It speaketh deceit out of one that speaketh peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in his heart he lieth in his wait. Shall I not visit them for these, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? And there you have America. I forgot what book it's in. But I can't remember, but I'm going to say it. It says that one day there's going to be a famine. And that famine's not going to be of food and water.
It's going to be a famine of the word of God. It said the word of God is no longer going to be found, and it's not found anymore. It's very few and far between that we find anybody with the word of God anymore. There's a famine in America, and everybody's against the holy God. And until we can get people to take their eyes off the physicians, and take their eye off the things of this world, and put them on Jesus Christ, this is where it is. This is where we're going to end up. This is where we're going to stay. Very few are getting saved this day and age. Very few people are coming to Jesus Christ. That should bother us. That should break our heart. I have children. I have family that's lost. That should bother me, knowing how hard it is to convince them that there's a better doctor than what they know on earth. Okay?
And I'm going to close with that. Let's pray. Father,